This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I got fancy feet.
They look normal to me.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant to say. I'm footloose and fancy free.
All right. That doesn't really explain anything any better to me.
What do you mean?
You're footloose and fancy free?
Yeah, I'm just ready to go.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a good mood. I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I thought it was like, I'm leaving my old life behind. I'm footloose and fancy free now.
I'm leaving my negative feelings behind,
all right,
Tom.
Well, hey, that's great to hear.
I'm coming into this experience with a positive attitude.
Uh-huh.
And gratitude.
Wow.
What do you do when this happens? I took a lift over here.
Yeah. L-Y-F-T.
L-Y-F-T.
You didn't take a British elevator over here. You did take an elevator, though.
I never use the elevator
what
in
about
this building.
Where you live, did you use the elevator?
Yeah, I took the elevator down.
Yeah, so you used an elevator.
Yeah. I take the stairs at your place, yeah, Tom, because you told me about that one time you got stuck in the elevator and it sounded awful.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I do live on the 78th floor, but...
Look, I get my steps
in.
Yeah, You see these guys that, like, you know when they have that event where it's like, run up the steps of the Empire State Building, and, like, psychopaths are like, this is fun. But then there's this one guy that always does it, like, he did it in 8 minutes.
Really?
Like, how do you even do that?
Yeah.
I could get down in 8 minutes.
Right.
Tuck and roll, my friend.
Was he wearing moon shoes?
He might have been wearing Nickelodeon moon shoes.
Yeah. We talked about last week on our Patreon show the movie Repossessed, starring Leslie Nielsen, The Exorcist parody.
Right.
A parody of the movie called The Exorcist.
Right. Where are you going with this?
In the beginning of the
Counselor, where are you going with this?
In the beginning of the movie, he falls down a flight of steps, but they do that gag where they just keep showing it from different angles.
Yeah.
It seems like it's... takes him like a half minute to fall down. And that never gets old.
I love it.
That
That's
every
my favorite
time.
Gag. You should do that in every movie. Comedy, drama.
Yeah, just having
documentary.
A guy. Having a guy go, ooh,
for like 90 seconds straight.
Yeah.
You ever do this? You know, it's you order the Lyft on your phone.
Yeah.
And then it comes. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it's like, your driver is here, like in the app, you get a phone call.
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
Florida number. And you're just like, so I always send it right to voicemail.
Uh-huh.
And then like this was just like, sir, I'm here. Come to, it's like, I know.
Yeah, the app
the
told
app
me.
The app didn't tell me like where you were until you were here. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, it's, you know, coming in 3 minutes, but we'll tell you in a minute when it's, you know.
Oh,
like
they do that now?
They always play like fast and loose with like.
Oh, really? I haven't taken like a Uber or a Lyft anywhere in a while, I guess.
But then I get in there. How would you respond to this? Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, for Tim, you know, you get.
Yeah, Make sure it's the right Uber.
He goes, yes, sir. He's a nice man. He was an older man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, thank you very much. You know, like, because I say thank you when I get in for coming,
yeah,
I guess.
You were raised polite. Thank you for coming.
For coming and picking me up.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by it.
Yes.
And he said, thank you very much, sir. And God bless you.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't sneeze or anything. I think he was just saying, God bless you to me. Uh-huh. How would you respond?
Right back at you.
I said, thanks, same to you.
Yeah.
And he chuckled and said, thank you. But, like, what am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say, the good Lord bless you as well?
You could have, I mean, you could have taken a page out of The Exorcist, and when he said it, gone, ha-ha! Like it physically hurt you.
Yes, you relate everything back to The Exorcist, Tom.
It's the lens I view my life through now, Tim.
It's a problematic worldview.
Look, I don't want to get taken over by a demon, all right? I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
I don't think I would mind getting taken over by a demon.
You would.
I think once they got the demon out of me, Tom.
You'd want him back. You'd miss him.
No, I think everybody would have like a newfound level of respect. Like, I didn't. Like, a lot of people would probably see me and be like, not realize it was a demon in me, mm-hmm. and be like, I didn't know Tim went that hard, you know?
Right.
And be like, we better not cross Tim, because he said some things about my mother and what she does in hell.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to hear that kind of stuff again. Yeah. He escalated things far too...
So you think people would start respecting you more because the demon that took over your body would scare them?
They'd watch their step around me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know?
Just start snapping at people more.
I wish you could, like, maybe you can do this. Maybe this is a service, mm-hmm. and like, if I say it out loud. Like, you make a deal with a demon. Hey, you get to hang out in my body.
They don't have any kind of services like this. At least reputable ones.
You can hang out in my body for 24 uh-huh. hours. Then you gotta go.
Yeah, don't make deals with demons, Tim. You can't trust them.
Yeah, but if you find one...
A reputable demon?
A reputable demon.
It's like a needle in a haystack.
Wants to raise some hell here on Earth for 24 hours.
Uh-huh. Get your friends to respect you more.
Not even friends. I would want them to walk around the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And just and get everybody afraid of you.
Local
toughs,
you. Street mm-hmm. gangs. There's a lot of street gangs near me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
weird.
I want
them to be like, we're not going to hassle this
nice
guy.
Nice neighborhood. I wouldn't think there'd be so many street gangs.
Tom, the world is going to hell. You haven't been watching TV. You haven't been watching 24-hour news, Tom.
Yeah. I've been
the world outside of our doors is a war zone.
Yeah, I mean, you do hear that a lot.
What?
That the world's going to hell.
Yeah,
in a handbasket.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna bring hell to the world to scare away the.
What does that mean? Hell in a handbasket?
You go in a, you know, a basket that you like hold.
Yeah,
in your hand.
Like Toto, like Dorothy had Toto in a handbasket.
Like an Easter basket, maybe.
Okay, but you. Hell is in the handbasket, or you're going to hell and you're in the handbasket?
You're being transported to hell
in a
handbasket. The way that Toto was transported to Oz in a handbasket.
Okay. Why? Why does it have to be that way?
Maybe a giant's bringing you there? A giant demon?
Yeah. I think Satan's pretty big.
Yeah. I've seen him portrayed as big and small. Needless to say, if anybody the topic this week is Sesame Street.
If anybody's listening with their child and wondering why are these guys going on and on about demons,
this is not, you should probably turn this off now if there's a child present. I think I just want to say that,
yeah.
Because, like, Tom, I know you have a expose on Cookie Monster that mm-hmm. you're going...
Somebody out there, you know, has searched Sesame Street on their phone very quickly and given that phone to a crying child right now.
Yeah.
Here, just listen. Here, it says Sesame Street. Listen to this.
My kid has moved on. My son, my lovely two-year-old mm-hmm. son. Has moved on from Sesame Street to he loves Blippi now.
Yeah.
This is why YouTube stinks. We need to take a freaking axe to the internet servers.
I thought you were going to say something worse. Like, he's moved past Sesame Street. Now he's real into Dream On.
Oh, man. I've been trying to get him into Dream On because for the most part, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name?
Benjamin Buttons? The actor, the main actor?
Oh, Brian Benben.
Brian Benben, yeah.
That's a fun name, too. Yeah.
If he was Benjamin Benben, Ben.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, they mess up. It's like when you see a guy named like Johnny Johnson or something. It's like,
yeah,
why did your parents do that?
But it's understandable if your last name is like John, to name you than John.
Yeah.
Three is funny. It goes that way where it comes all the way back around again.
Yeah.
And you're kind of jealous of like, you know, I'd like if my name was something like Tom, Tom, Tom. I mean, nobody'd ever take me seriously, but it'd be fun once in a while. Yeah. I might just start doing it anyway.
You can just change your name, Tom.
Yeah. That's a pain in the butt. I don't know why I said butt instead of thinking about
there's a lot of kids listening.
Yeah, the kids. Okay, so he's moved off Sesame Street and on to Blippi.
Yeah, and it's because of the YouTube. Like, YouTube is like you're watching Elmo videos, mm-hmm. and then like I leave the room for a second to refill my coffee.
Yeah.
I come back, Blippi's on the screen because Elmo is like, no, show more Elmo. Don't choose a whole other guy to show my kid. You don't get to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because if there's one thing kids love, it's just watching the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just let him be.
This guy, Blippi, really speaks to him.
Yeah. Yeah, kids love Blippi.
Yeah, he's this man. He's like a 30-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And he only very occasionally interacts with kids in the videos.
Yeah, he's like always talking to the camera, right?
Yeah, and when he interacts with kids, it's like, this guy has never been around children in his whole life. And like, most of it is just him like,
What's up, bro?
I'm going to go to the toy store now. And like, he's like playing with toys. And it's like, there's no value to this. Like, to my son, it's like, you have these same toys over there. Yeah. Why don't you just go play with them?
Yeah, you don't want to just watch a video of a man playing with them.
They do.
Yeah. And I guess also it's like, I don't know, maybe you want to like teach kids like, hey, if you go in a toy store and there's like a man alone dressed weird playing with the toys talking to a non-existent camera, maybe that's not a safe thing. Maybe that's not a good thing.
Yeah. And then he does this thing. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I hate this freaking guy. At the end of the videos, he's like, and remember, let's spell my name together so you can search for more videos. And Blippi.
Uh-huh.
Right, so my wife and I were always spelling things in front of the kid that like, you know, like if
And
you
now
hear,
he knows how Blippi's spelled.
Exactly. So like when like he's crying. It's like, should we get him some M-I-L-K? But if we say milk, he'll immediately start going like, yeah, milk.
Yeah, that's the problem. Give me milk.
Yeah. Or like, oh, hey, we're out of M-I-L-K. Can you pick it up later? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, but now it's just like, should I turn
on
B-L-I-P-P-I?
Boy, this kid loves milk, huh?
Tom.
You just can't mention it around him, huh?
Babies love milk. I think you'll find this from most parents of young children. You mention milk. These kids go fucking bananas.
I don't know. I think I know kids that aren't real into milk.
Oh.
My niece isn't real into milk.
Well, she's like six now,
yeah,
right?
But I'm saying even when she was younger, she's five, but...
Ask your brother.
No, because he doesn't like milk, so they just like don't have milk in the house.
They gave her coffee, Tom. This doesn't count.
Yeah, she likes coffee.
I know.
But she likes
I could be into milk.
But she likes her coffee black.
Right.
Yeah, she doesn't want. She'll drink any coffee she can get. I've seen a little. I feel like maybe this is just because my frame of time is different nowadays. But that kids aren't into things very long anymore.
Yeah. I mean, milk is kind of like timeless, though. I'd
right.
say. No, milk but I'm is like just, sustenance. It tastes good. Like,
I'm
it was
just
the first
thinking
thing
about how when my niece was two. Elmo, the world began and ended with Elmo.
Right.
And then like a year later, you know,
Elmo's
who's
a piece
this Elmo?
Of shit.
Who's this Elmo guy? I don't even know him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know him. What was your name again?
Yeah. Yeah. She says stuff like that to him. Like, that's very mean to Elmo.
You're cutting.
So is that kind of what happened with your kid and Sesame Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, look, we'll get into Sesame Street. And I'm not just going to talk. I know some people are like, Tim talks about his son all the time. Yeah, I do. I don't do anything.
Yeah, literally you told me beforehand, because I was saying to you, I'm kind of surprised we've never done Sesame Street. And you mentioned, oh, I came up with that idea because it was just like, what are the things I've had conversations about lately?
Yeah. So you know, I also pitched an episode on milk, Tom.
We've done episodes on milk.
I know.
At least one episode on milk.
Yeah. Oh, I hope my son isn't listening to this. He's probably going nuts.
Yeah.
Milk.
Milk. That guy that comes over sometimes, he keeps saying milk. Dad's friend.
He knows you, Tom.
Yeah.
He called you out. He
called me out.
Yeah. In a book. We got a book.
Tired of my shit.
We got a book with a picture of you in it.
Excuse me?
Friend of the show, Christine, made a book for him of all of our friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He likes the Tom page.
Oh, well, hey, who wouldn't? What am I doing on it?
Well, it's very inappropriate.
Wow. And also, I don't remember signing any licensing, any likeness.
And Tom, guess what?
What?
I saw this book on the bestseller list.
What? They're selling this book everywhere?
Yeah. I thought Christine just like made a copy. No.
Yeah, no, she made a deal with one of the big publishing houses, it
I
sounds
think
like.
So.
Huh. Yeah.
The same one that like does like Glenn Beck's books.
Oh, really?
And, like,
okay.
Sean Hannity.
Weird. Very weird. I got to see this book, Tim. I'm dying to know what else is going on in here.
Lighting the charts on
is
fire.
Is it me with a background or am I like cut out of a background?
No, it's like you're in a picture with other people.
Oh, okay. And what
the name
it
of the
say?
Book, the name of the book, Tom.
Uh-huh. Is some dopes my dad knows.
I mean, that's accurate. It was made before he was born.
Oh, okay.
And Christine gave it as like a baby shower gift.
Uh-huh.
And it's called You Already Have So Many Friends. Because that's like what Christine's all about. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, and then it's like stuff about
finally
like,
getting a friend.
Community and like the importance of bonds and then like a lot of like and you know and the women's right to choose and stuff. It's like all right, it's not even born yet. I support this, but like
irrelevant to this current situation.
Yeah. Baby can't vote.
Well, I'd still like to see this book. Does it have my name printed in it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so
he knows you. Yeah. He's impressed by you, Tom.
Does he say Tom when he... Yeah. Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah. How come he never calls me?
On the phone?
Yeah.
I bet if you told him the next time you saw him, like...
call me on the phone,
he'd
remember
he would ask to call you all the time.
Yeah, that's how I got... last time I talked to my niece on the phone, that's how I got some candy the next time I saw her. Because she was showing me all of her Halloween candy, and I was like, you know, your uncle gets a cut of that, right? And as a joke, but the next time I saw... And her parents were like, yeah, she was adamant, like, we have to bring this, he said. But, you know, win-win.
Now,
I got some candy.
Where's my dark roast?
All right, so let's talk about Sesame Street.
Yeah, the street, as I call it.
That sounds like some, new rebooted version.
No, Tom.
Some
edgy
version.
For people who might not know.
Uh-huh.
Very quickly, Sesame Street is an American educational children's television series that combines live action, sketch comedy. Tom, we love both those things.
Uh-huh.
Animation and puppetry.
I love all those things.
Yeah. It was created by... Who was it created by, Tom?
Jim Henson.
Nope.
What?
You're absolutely wrong.
PBS.
Joan Ganz Cooney and Lloyd Morissette.
Alanis George Clooney's mom.
Yeah. Joan Ganz Cooney. She's a lady.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, hey, this was like... I don't know. It was, she started it in 1970. Oh, man. The basic goddamn information here, huh? started in 1969.
Okay. The Summer of Love.
Nah, I think 68 was the Summer of Love.
Yeah, but 69.
Right.
Well,
that's lust, Tom.
The Summer of Lust.
Yeah. That was back when, like, TV was, like, the vast wasteland of,
the good old days.
Yeah, where they're, like, there's nothing of it. And, like, she was, like, what if we made educational content for kids? Because, mm-hmm. like, Captain Kangaroo is on, not Captain Kangaroo, but, like, Bozo the Clown and stuff like that. Howdy Doody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, yeah, shut up, lady. Yeah, stop making boring stuff.
There was entertainment for children, but the idea of they could also learn something from this. This isn't just like a treat for the kid or a way for the parent to put their kid in front of the TV for a half hour while they take a dump or whatever.
And the other thing was low-income kids and kids in cities often did not have access to pre-kindergarten education. Mm-hmm. And Joan Cooney was an educator, and she was like, well, why don't we use TV to like replicate that experience? Like, you have fun, you sing songs, you learn stuff, and kids go to preschool and they have a great time. Put preschool on TV in a fun way. Mm-hmm. And they're like, still sounds kind of boring, lady. And then she's like, all right, puppets. And then she called up Jim Henson, who was lighting the world on fire with like coffee ads and stuff. And was like, hey, can you do some stuff? And he's like, hell yeah. And then immediately everybody was like, oh, Jim Henson must have created this because he did all the cool stuff.
I mean, he still kind of did. It sounds like she came up with the idea of having a show for kids and then having puppets and hiring Jim Henson. But then he did all the like heavy lifting.
I mean, no, like you watch like there are cartoons. He had nothing to do with like the cartoons. Oh, okay. The fact that, I don't know who came up with like the community of the street, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's like a lot of, especially in old episodes, it'd be like for a while, there'd just be like a kid and like a grown up who wasn't his dad or whatever talking for a while.
Yeah, just sitting on the stoop.
And then like Big Bird would stroll up and say something and then be like, all right, see you later. And then the kid and the man would keep talking. Like, he'd be like, all right, I guess. Like, you're just going to use Big Bird sparingly. Okay, this makes sense.
I mean, I'm sure that suit's hot. It's not comfortable to me in. So. Yeah. You could probably hear the person right off camera.
Well, in the beginning, Tom, it was actually a real Big Bird.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that changes everything.
It's big and yellow and childlike.
I was reading up some like trivia about Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. It says it's boring history.
Tom, see, you're the Jim Henson to my...
Exactly. Yeah. Trying to spice things up here,
Live it up, buddy.
Reading about other versions of...
Sesame Street,
because it's been translated all over the world.
You just keep forgetting the words.
Sesame Street. Yeah. In Afghanistan, they had a version where Oscar the Grouch and Count Von Count were minimized on the Afghani version due to cultural taboos against trash and vampirism.
All right, look. Taboos about like nobody likes trash except for Oscar.
That's they don't want to show somebody who likes it.
Oscar the Grouch and the vampirism, like, of course nobody wants to, like, Afghanistan's doing things right over there. Well, you want to promote vampires to children?
Or anybody. There are cultural taboos around vampirism.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cultural
tattoo.
A cultural taboo around like real vampires, I think, in most countries except Transylvania.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you go to Transylvania, they're like, we're not, like, that's not really what we're about.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to bring it up because do you remember like a long time ago? We made fun of Transylvania, and like a listener from Transylvania sent this like scathing email to us.
That's how you remember it.
Uh-huh.
It was actually Romania.
Okay.
And we said some things, and like, you know, the Romani people like have been very discriminated against.
Yeah.
So like looking back, I think we were in the wrong because we were like, they're all vampires because it's Romania.
I think I was talking about Transylvania.
I know, but...
Or I was confused.
What do you think is the likelier scenario here?
They minimize Oscar and the Count. And then also in Nigeria's version of the Cookie Monster eats yams. And his catchphrase is, me want yam.
I mean...
Yeah.
Tracks. If its catchphrase was me want cookies and then he eats yams and he's just like, I had to settle.
Yeah. But it's weird because they say the Nigerian version of the Cookie Monster eats yams, but they don't say, and he's called the Yam Monster.
Right.
But presumably he's called the Yam Monster. If he's eating yams all the time.
Jules comes back from Nigeria and he's like, You know what they call the cookie monster in Nigeria?
The yam monster. You know what he says? Me want yams. Oh, and you were talking about cartoons. I wanted to mention this because I think I did know this, but that
cartoons are drawings done by people.
What?
And not real.
Tom,
what? When? At what point? At what age do you think if somebody asked you, was that a cartoon or was
live
it
action?
Live action? Do you think you would be able to say like definitively?
I think pretty early on, but I think if you asked me how was a cartoon made, that would send me off in a spiral of like, I've never thought about that. How is a cartoon made?
Yeah. All I know is I was having a conversation with a 4-year-old who was like, hey, I've been watching a lot of The Little Mermaid. And I was like, the cartoon or the live action? And like,
and they started crying.
Yeah. Like it was like her brain broke. It was like, all right.
A 4-year-old I think should know
the difference between
like maybe not live action, but if you were like the one with cartoons or the one with real people in it,
right?
They would probably know. Unless they would go, well, you know, nowadays there's so much CGI that it's basically the same thing.
I think that was her ultimate
response. But yeah, so anyway, what I was going to say about animation, in the first season, both Batman and Superman appeared in short cartoons produced by Filmation. In one clip, Batman told Bert and Ernie to stop arguing and take turns choosing what to watch on TV. In another segment, Superman battled a giant chimp.
That sounds so educational.
They should have kept those cartoons going. It sounds like kids could have really learned.
I love that. Like it was like we're gonna make this educational with a splash of fun, and it's like, all right, we'll do the ABCs, and then Superman will fight a chimp. And then you ever see a clip of like nowadays it's like Ed Sheeran came on and sang a song about like the letter F or whatever, right? But you ever see a clip of like Stevie Wonder came on and he played Superstition.
Yeah, they didn't adapt it at all for children. He just played
the... like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
and he just
and that was like his new single at the time.
Yeah, it was cool. You ever see that clip?
I don't think so.
There's just a bunch of kids sitting on Sesame Street, like hanging on like fire escapes and stuff.
Yeah,
and Stevie Wonder's just playing Superstition.
Any Muppets?
Muppets.
Wow.
It's just a bunch of kids.
Kind of fucked up. They were like, you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't like the music of Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder.
It's too
terrified of Muppets.
Really?
It's like, don't let them near me.
Well, imagine you're Stevie Wonder. You're having a long conversation with somebody, and then you're saying goodbye, and he's like, "Oh, let's hug." And then for the first time, he feels, "Oh, you're actually a giant bird."
Yeah.
I had no idea. You didn't mention that.
Not that you should have to, like,
right.
You know, but, like, it puts him in an awkward position.
Yeah, so I understand why he didn't want any Muppets attending his performance after something like that. Do you think if you were having a... All right, let's pretend you couldn't see.
Okay.
And you're having a long conversation. Would you be more disturbed if at the end of the conversation, you know, and it would make sense with these two characters that they would want a hug from you.
Right.
Would you be more disturbed if when you finally hug them, they were Big Bird or Elmo?
I think I'd be more disturbed by Big Bird.
Yeah?
I think fur, like I'm accustomed to like petting a dog. Or like,
but you've just been having a conversation with.
Yeah, but guess what? Big Bird's no freaking brain genius, but also
come on, that's not fair.
He at least knows how to talk with proper diction. I'd know something was up with Elmo when he'd be like, "Elmo likes." It's like, all right, why are you talking like this? Who's Elmo? Oh, you're okay.
Yeah,
you're talking in the third person.
What about Snuffleupagus?
Oh, that's...
That would be freaky.
I don't know how you would do a hug.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, you just have to hug me. And then you'd hug
my snout.
Yeah, and then he'd be like, what the hell? Your snout? I had no idea you weren't a man. That you're actually, what is he, like a woolly mammoth kind of guy?
Yeah. Like an imaginary thing. Although I did see him on the street in real life, Tom.
He's not imaginary. I was reading a thing about how they had to change the fact that he was imaginary.
Yeah, so the original storyline with Snuffleupagus, mm-hmm. Snuffy, as he's
affectionately known,
is Big Bird would see him all the time and talk to him. And then conveniently when Big Bird went to be like, hey, meet my friend Snuffy, he wouldn't be there. So everybody thought like, oh, it's just an imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. And Big Bird was like, it was like a very much like, what is that cartoon where the frog is singing?
Yeah, yeah. Michigan J. Frog.
Yeah.
Like, hello, my darling.
But basically it was a running gag where everybody's like, sure, Big Bird.
Yeah. Which is a pretty good gag.
It is, but then like child psychologists always have to come in and ruin all the gags.
Yeah,
came in.
They're
and
probably
like,
the one that got rid of that Superman fighting the chimp cartoon.
And they were just like, "This is actually a bad message to give kids that like, hey, if something's happening to you and you go and tell an adult, they might not believe you.
Yeah,
and you just have to live with that. And it's just like that's not a message that you tell kids that like." Grown-ups won't believe you when you tell them what happened to you.
Yeah. And also, chimps, especially a giant chimp, it's going to be so strong, you're not going to be able to beat it, so don't even try fighting in the first place.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tom, back to Sesame Street.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Hang a left.
Where?
Next left. Remember when people used to give directions?
Yeah, it was great. It was the best.
I hated it. As somebody that's
well, Tom, you were always lost. You have no sense of direction.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I would ask somebody like, "Hey, how do I get to Sesame Street or whatever?" And they would go, "All right, here's what you're gonna do. You hit a mile up this road. You're gonna see a fork. You're gonna want to bear right, and then there's gonna be a second left. Don't take that. Take the third left." I just could not remember directions when somebody was telling them to me.
So that's a you problem.
Yeah. I was saying, remember when people used to give directions? I hated that.
Yeah.
People still sometimes try and do that. Sometimes try and give me directions. I have to stop them and go like, I'm just going to put it in my phone.
Yeah. My dad loves doing that where it's just like, or like, we were all going to my parents' house. Mm-hmm. My brother was coming from Massachusetts. And my dad was like,
and your dad was on the phone giving him directions the whole way?
Not the whole way, but like called him and he's like, I saw on the news that like part of I-95 is closed mm-hmm. down because like something happened. Yeah. So take, you know, 87 to blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And my brother was like, all right, I'm sure it'll just like update in my phone. Like, and he's just like, all right, I think you can take it. Like it says here, let me get online and see. And like my brother was just like, I appreciate the help, but like, yeah,
but it's gonna auto redirect.
Our generation is dumb, and like, whenever I drive up to mm-hmm. my in-laws, like, the first thing my father-in-law asked me is, "Hey, what route did you guys take?" And like, I don't know, because like, I don't know what road I was on at any point. I just drove, and when they said like, "Get off at this exit," I was like, "Cool, thanks, lady," and I get off at that exit and just go, and so like. Like, you know, the usual way, 95. He's like, that road is nowhere near us.
Yeah, it took the big road, big road all the way up.
And I appreciate that.
A straight shot.
I understand how that generation is just this was like a big consideration. Of course, like, they're going to know.
Right.
Or of course, they're going to like want a heads up on this. It's like, no, a robot tells me what to do and I follow it and it always works.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they're, you know, that used to be the big conversation after a long trip. Like, how'd you get, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still some like, how was it? You know, was there traffic? Was there bad weather?
And also, like, I get angry when it's like, yeah, they told me we'd get here at 12:33 and we got here at 12:36. So like fucking useless app.
I've already sent an email to Tim Cook complaining.
I used Apple Maps, Tom.
Apple Maps is good now.
Oh yeah, Apple Maps is good.
Keep
now.
Giving all your information to Google.
I mean, they introduced me to Blippi.
I completely forget what I was going to say. Something about, I was thinking recently when I was driving a car and like following the directions on the GPS. And I was like, this kind of sucks. I'm just like a shitty autopilot. Like realizing how exactly I'm following things and that I'm like kind of not paying. I'm paying attention to the road and everything, but I'm not paying attention to where I am and where I'm going, really,
because
I'm just trusting this thing that I'm like, it is kind of bullshit, like that I'm an intermediary between two machines right now. Like, can't these two machines just talk to each other, figure this out?
That's your problem. I just feel like you're not like worried, like. People used to use their brains all the time, and now we don't use our brains at all.
We use it for good stuff, Tim.
Like what?
Memes. And going viral.
Tom,
we
do love going viral. You and I love going viral.
We go viral every week on this show, and it's incredible. It's changed our lives.
Oh, God, the rush I get from going viral.
Yeah, it's not like anything else. Tim, let's get back to Sesame Street talk.
All right.
I was also looking up some, like I said, some interesting facts about Sesame Street, besides just how to get there. That Oscar the Grouch was originally orange.
Yeah.
And not green. He turned green after he like took a trip to the swamp.
Some bad sushi.
No. He went to the swamp.
Oh, there was like a storyline where he turned green?
I don't think there was a storyline, but I think, you know, one day he was just green and some kid was like, hey, how come you're green? He's like, I went to the swamp.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
A classic retcon.
But let me tell you, I was looking at some pictures of Orange Oscar. Pretty cool looking.
Yeah. Well, when HBO Max came out, Tom, you could watch like old episodes.
Yeah.
Like, Big Bird's eyes were all fucked up and he was scary. You know, you ever see like the original Big Bird? It's like, you ever see the original Miss Piggy? It's like, how did anybody think this was okay?
How did anybody find this woman sexy?
And like modern day Miss Piggy.
Sure, of course.
Yeah,
I'm a red-blooded straight American male. Of course I'm going to be interested in what she's got on offer.
Now, you see some of the original Sesame Street Muppets and you're just like, man, they shouldn't have put this on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be like terrifying.
Also,
right?
Like in those early episodes, like I think they have to have like disclaimers on them. Like some of the Muppets are like smoking cigarettes.
Well, I didn't realize that I guess unrelated, but related, that in Arrested Development, when Job had Franklin the puppet, that was based on
Franklin.
From Sesame Street. Yeah. I didn't know that. That was like a jive talking puppet that did not last long before people complained, like, what are you doing? I think that's probably one of those things where it's like everybody wrote in to complain, you know, like everybody's like offended by this in their own unique way. But yeah, Oscar used to be orange. I didn't know that Bert has a twin brother.
What's Bert's twin brother's name?
Bart.
Bart. Yep. Tom, Bert and Ernie.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm not for franchises. But there should be a Bert and Ernie extended universe. I want to know more. I want to see them on more adventures
together. Yeah, I want to see their day-to-day life. Like,
make the whole show about Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, as a kid, I was a real Bert and Ernie head. They were my favorite. And I just remember like every
episode. Did you consider yourself a Bert or an Ernie?
I don't know what I considered myself. I know I liked Ernie more.
I aligned myself with Ernie.
Yeah.
Bert was too uptight. I couldn't relate.
Yeah, but you still liked him.
I liked him. Yeah. I respected the hell out of him, Tom.
and when he would do the pigeon.
Yeah, the dance.
Yeah, it was so weird looking.
I don't like when they make Muppets
have legs.
Yeah, especially like in like the 80s when it was like the green screen technology, like they didn't like figure out how to make it look like natural. And
yeah, it was just like, we'll put a real long like coat hanger attached to each foot and a guy just out of frame will be moving these feet. But I remember even when I was little, every episode of Sesame Street thinking, boy, I can't wait till Bert and Ernie are on. And then when Bert and Ernie would be on, I would think, I wonder if Bert and Ernie are going to be back in this episode. And usually they weren't. I didn't like Bert and Ernie when they went to like the Kermit and Miss Piggy's wedding and stuff. I don't like seeing Bert and Ernie with a lot of other Muppets.
I didn't like Bert and Ernie when I saw them at Kermit and Miss Piggy's wedding. what was wrong?
Why are they there? They don't know him that well. I don't know either of them that well.
What do you mean?
One thing, but I don't like.
He knows Kermit pretty well. Kermit hangs around Sesame Street.
That's
a lot.
True. Yeah. I just don't like when Bert and Ernie. I like Bert and Ernie when they're just talking to each other. I feel like when especially Ernie, when he has like interact with other people, he has like kind of be normal.
Tom, this is absolutely right. Modern day Sesame Street separates Bert and Ernie sometimes. Sometimes like Ernie's just hanging out with freaking like Abby Cadabby or like
No, that's weird. I mean, that's not as weird as if it were Bert.
Yeah, Bert, Bert will hang with like Elmo.
Oh, that's so weird. And what do they talk about?
There was
about?
A whole thing like in like the early 2000s were a shitty time for culture.
Yeah. And like and gay panic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I think there was a point where like Sesame Street, like, is like they mentioned it on the Today Show or something, and like Sesame Street had to like put out a statement being like, they're puppets, they have no sexuality.
Yeah, that's like, that's not something that's like not, ever considered.
Yeah,
none of these characters.
Yeah,
that's not what they are.
They're a classic comedy duo.
Yeah,
that teach kids about fucking kindness and letters.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's like, yeah, and Oscar the Grouch, which way does he swing?
Yeah, who is he having sex with?
Right. Yeah, that I thought was the best response of just like, basically, we're not even going to dignify this with an answer.
Are you asking, like, hey.
They have separate beds, for God's sake.
So did Lucy and Ricky, and little Ricky, so how did that happen?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But yeah, I like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. But nobody asked that about other kids' characters.
No, and it was just.
What were they getting down with?
Yeah.
You guys, did you guys film any of that?
You gonna put any of that up on Max? Yeah, I mean, there's just, well, and that actually kind of ties into, I was reading some conspiracy theories about about Sesame Street. And look, I love a good conspiracy theory. I love a fun conspiracy theory, but I get real mad.
You love a problematic conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I get real mad when I read one and it's like, and people are serious about it. It's like nobody's thinking that deeply about you. Are the congratulations. You are thinking way more deeply about this thing than anyone else ever has. But one was that Mr. Noodles.
Yeah, Mr. Noodle.
Mr. Noodle.
Yeah.
He's in hell.
All right. So Mr. Noodle is part of Elmo's world, Tom. Mm-hmm. It's a segment where we go into Elmo's room.
Yeah.
They play some matching
Bird and
Ernie game.
World.
No.
We get a little peek.
Yeah.
See if they're fucking or not.
Exactly. That's why I'm getting into lucid dreaming, Tom. So I can create my own Bert and Ernie world that I can visit.
You know what, Tim? I support it.
Create the world you want to see, right? Yeah, and they won't let me into Kaufman Astoria Studios to take out the puppets.
You're going to have to lucid dream your way in.
Yeah,
Tim, anything I can do to support you in this, I'm happy to do.
So Mr. Noodle, like Elmo opens the window when he's learning about a certain topic.
Uh-huh.
Opens the window shade and looks out the window. And there's a man there named Mr. Noodle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a silent film guy.
Yeah.
Like he does like big like mime stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't talk.
Yeah. Tom, sometimes it's Mr. Noodle's sister, Mrs. Noodle, or Ms. Noodle.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is played by, who's the lady from Broad City?
Alana Glazer?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's Mr. Noodle's poodle, Noodle. No,
okay.
Zoodle. Whatever. Sometimes it's a dog.
Yeah.
But like, it's always like, hey, we're learning about like dinner today, and like it's like, or we're learning about breakfast foods. It's like, oh, do you eat a hamburger for breakfast, Mr. Noodle? You don't eat a hamburger for breakfast. You know, it's stuff like that.
Silly shit.
Silly shit that like I love, everybody loves, but apparently this man is in hell.
Yeah. Well, I also saw that sometimes it's like Mr. Noodle's uncle, and his name's Mr. Noodle.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or it's Mr. Noodle's brother, Mr. Noodle.
This is from mentalfloss.com.
Okay. Dentalfloss.com.
Can a grown man really enjoy taking orders from a squeaky red puppet? And why does Mr. Noodle live outside a window in Elmo's house anyway? According to this hilariously bleak theory, no, Mr. Noodle does not like dancing for Elmo, but he has to because he's an L. Think about it. He's seemingly trapped in a surreal place where he can't talk, but he has to do whatever a fuzzy monster named Elmo says. Definitely sounds like hell.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of weak because it's like, well, if there's like a version of hell where you are a silent film actor, if that's a normal thing, sure, yeah. I'll believe that.
I would not want to be possessed by Mr. Noodle. That would not be...
Oh, all right.
That would not show the street toughs that I'm also, like, tough.
Yeah.
Just show me to be a bumbling fool.
Look out, Mr. Noodle's here.
Yeah.
You know what, Tim? It makes a lot of sense that I think Mr. Noodle has a dog named Mr. Noodle.
No, it's called...
It's called something else?
Yeah, Mr. Noodle's
poodle. I thought
Noodle's
the dog's
poodle.
Name was Mr. Noodle.
No.
Does Elmo have a dog? A golden retriever?
He has a dog.
What's the dog's name? I thought the dog's name was
Arfie or something.
I thought the dog's name was Mr. Noodle, and I thought that was great.
Mr. Noodle's poodle Schmoodle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Here's another one, Tim. Another,
and it's a real dog. It's not a puppet dog.
Yeah, Tom. I know, and that's why I liked it. And I found it a little disconcerting because it's like, look, I don't know if Elmo's equipped to take care of an actual dog. If he had a Muppet dog, sure, because probably like a Muppet dog's hard to kill. But a regular dog, I don't know, I'm almost going to forget to put water out for him or something.
Right. Tom, Mr. Noodle is played by Bill Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Evening Shade.
I believe he tragically died from a stingray barb to the heart.
You're thinking of Bill Irwin. Yeah.
Okay. Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Tim, have you also heard this theory that Elmo is the son of Animal?
Elmo? Mm-hmm. No, they show.
I know they show that Elmo has a dad. I think his dad's name's Louie.
Perhaps.
This theory, it says, okay, so remember when Animal chases a shrieking woman out of the college auditorium in the Muppets Take Manhattan?
Sure.
One fan thinks Elmo had a fling with this lady, or Animal had a fling, which produced Elmo. While the two might have, while the two might have similar coloring, the theory completely ignores Elmo's dad.
Everybody worried about who's having sex with who on Sesame Street.
Yeah, and also like positing that humans can mate with Muppets and it would produce Muppet offspring?
That's offensive to me as a human.
But then
Ms. Noodle is also portrayed by Amber Ruffin.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Big fan of Amber Ruffin.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If a Muppet did procreate with a human being,
right,
would it produce a monstrosity, or is that the explanation of like what Guy Smiley is?
Oh, like a human Muppet.
A human Muppet.
Guy Smiley is a game show host.
I also,
he was always my favorite guy as a little kid because I also loved game shows.
Yeah. Well, and he was fun. I also found out that Guy Smiley is a stage name, Tim. His real name is Bernie Liederkrantz.
Oh, yeah. That's a good bit.
Yeah. Which does make sense that Guy Smiley would be. But, you know, where do those guys come from? The human Muppets.
I mean, where do any of them come from? They're like, not everything needs lore.
But it makes things more fun if there's some kind of, there has to be some method to the madness. Why are there human Muppets?
Because they're fun.
Why not? Why isn't Guy Smiley like a bear?
Because he's a guy. It's right in the name.
But don't you think that it could be because...
You ever hear a bear named Guy?
Think it could be because a human's had sex with a Muppet?
Probably, yeah, of course.
Okay. That's all
it
I
depends
ask.
On what kind of Muppet, though. Because that's the other thing. There are monsters, right? There mm-hmm. are Sesame Street monsters.
Right.
And I don't think Guy Smiley could be the offspring of a monster.
But
he doesn't have any
knows?
Monster-like qualities.
Yeah, but do you think he'd be like the offspring of Big Bird or something? He doesn't have feathers either.
Right.
Yeah, Big Bird's also like 5 years old or something, right?
This is disgusting what you're positing right now.
Despite the fact that Big Bird's been around for 40 years, 40 plus, that's 50 years.
Oh, yeah. So, no, he must be stuck in hell because he doesn't age. It's obvious that Big Bird is suffering.
This must be a Dorian Gray situation. He's got a portrait of himself up in the attic.
And it's a bird's nest.
That's a good place for a bird's nest up in the attic.
Well, no, he has a big bird's nest right there on Sesame Street.
Yeah, but a bird's nest, you find bird's nests in attics sometimes.
In like
so
Maria
saying,
and Lewis's attic.
Yeah.
There's like a bird's nest with a picture of Big Bird in it.
Picture of Big Bird.
Like an old decrepit bird.
Yeah, so that the real Big Bird doesn't age. Did you see, I read an article, I forget where it was this week, but about like, I guess there was like a new episode of The Simpsons where it seems like they're maybe playing with the idea of aging the Simpsons characters.
Yeah, it's very, The Simpsons is very interesting these days, Tom. It's good again.
I mean, it kind of struck me as like, nah, I think that was a one episode thing they were doing.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, maybe they are going to, because the And I'm going to agree with you here about fucking lore, because they're like, otherwise, how does it explain that Homer and Marge met in the 60s, but then also in the 90s? But that's when Bart and Lisa were born, because it's a fucking cartoon. It's not real. That's how it's explained.
Yeah.
And they're like,
nobody was meant to think about, like, this is what I'm talking about, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Because we don't have to get directions anymore. We don't have to know how to get to places. We worry about shit like this. Is Mr. Noodle in hell?
I wasn't worried about if he's in hell. If he's in hell, maybe he's there for a good reason.
Are the Simpsons aging? Like, how do we reconcile a Simpsons episode from 1993 with one from 2023?
It's like we reconcile it by knowing the show's been on for, what, 35 years at this point?
But we don't know how to use our fucking brains.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so angry.
Do you think maybe Mr. Noodle's in hell because he's Elmo's dad and you're not supposed to have sex with Muppets, but he did?
I mean, I could see you going to hell for that.
Right?
100%.
If God caught you doing that.
This is unnatural. I cast you to hell.
Yeah. And hell's
and the devil. Oh, the devil's like, hey, we're happy to have you. We do all sorts of crazy
cool.
stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. New kinds of freaks. It's a sex.
All Muppets, Tom, is not known, widely known. All Muppets do go to hell.
Yeah, eventually they wind up in hell. Yeah. They're abominations.
There's no Muppet in heaven, unfortunately. Has a Muppet ever canonically died?
I don't know. I was reading that there were like people mad online a long time ago because after Mr. Hooper died, there were, I think it was Mr. Hooper died before Jim Henson.
Yeah, Mr. Hooper, like he died in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So Mr. Hooper was a character on Sesame Street. He was an older gentleman who owned the store on Sesame Street.
Yeah,
like a general
store. Like a very friendly guy to all the kids and Muppets.
And the actor passed away.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do we do? Do we just write him out of the show? And they were like, nope, let's cover his death.
Yeah, let's address it.
In like a very, in like big, it's like Big Bird learning about death.
Yeah.
And like, there's this heartbreaking scene where like, they like explain to him that Mr. Hooper's gone and not coming back. And Big Bird's like, okay, well, I drew this picture of him, so I'll just give it to him when he comes back later. And it's just like one of the humans being like, Big Bird,
what are you, stupid?
What are you, a fucking moron?
You got shit in your ears? What'd I tell you? The guy's
dead. He's 6 feet under.
Dead
as a doornail.
I was reading that they showed that episode on Thanksgiving so that parents would be around.
Ruin kids.
No, so that like a family was more likely to be together when that episode aired and kids had questions afterwards. But
tell my kid that Blippi died.
Blippi died. They didn't even make an episode about it.
Yeah, that's why we can't access his videos anymore. His family thought it was demeaning, and they issued.
He died. He was the only one with the password. And
there's a new Blippi, Tom.
Yeah,
they switched out Blippies.
Well, I remember reading that there was a big controversy when they did a Blippi live tour because they used actors, different actors to play Blippi.
And then it came out that Blippi did a video before
Blippi. Where he was like shitting.
Yeah, he pooped
diarrhea
on a guy for the Harlem Shake videos.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out Blippi, like he had a character called like something Grossman or whatever.
The Diarrhea Grossman.
Yeah, and it was just like, he was just a guy that was trying to go viral. And then he was like, let me try kids content. And it worked. Mm-hmm. And then he had to like try to scrub all of his other crap up.
Yeah.
But whatever. Like,
which like when you hear about people like Fred Rogers, where it's like his whole life was like, I just want to help children. And then you read like it's a guy who just wanted to go viral. His first thought was, I'll make a video where I diarrhea on my friend. And when that doesn't work, I'll try kids. Oh, the second time worked. Great.
Now I'm going to do this for the next 10
years. Yeah, I'll just keep doing this.
So the Blippi live show, it's like, I if I were a parent, I'd be like, ugh. Like,
yeah, you would not give it. Yeah. Well, the only thing that I read, which I do get that people were mad about, was that they were selling like meet and greet tickets. And that I get that, like, if you're in the, you know, audience, a kid's not going to realize, but if you're meeting them, then the kid might be like, what the hell? What's
yeah. going on I here? Don't know. I think if you have the voice and the costume, we only watched a written OG.
99 out of 100 kids are going to be fooled.
We were watching some OG Blippi when our son was like first getting into him.
Uh-huh.
And we turned on
you had to start from the beginning, otherwise yeah, exactly. you'd be lost.
But we got to one where like the new Blippi is in videos.
Oh, okay.
And like my son didn't clock it. My wife walks into the room and she screams, that's not Blippi. And I was like, yo, shut up.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
It's like, shut up. He didn't realize it.
The hell is this? You trying to trick me? I was also reading, you mentioned that Kermit's in a lot of the Sesame
Best
Street.
Best Sesame Street clip of all time.
What?
Kermit doing the ABCs with the little girl. And
oh,
he,
yeah,
and
yeah.
keeps saying Cookie Monster and then laughing so hard.
Uh-huh.
It's the perfect
clip. That's like a early 70s, mid 70s, yeah, somewhere around there. I didn't realize this, but again, it makes sense that apparently Kermit is seen as like Jim Henson's alter ego that he shared, which is weird because it's like
his voice. You ever hear Jim Henson talk?
Yeah. Yeah. He does sound Kermit's like Kermit.
Voice. Yeah.
And he says, hi ho, I'm Jim Henson. but that's kind of not an alter ego. They were describing it as an alter ego, and it sounded more like, no, Kermit is, he has the same personality as Jim Henson.
Right.
That's not an alter ego.
Well, it's like his representation in the Muppet and Sesame Street world.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It's like like Brian the dog is Seth MacFarlane's.
Oh, yeah. Is that true? I guess that makes sense.
I mean, he just has the voice of Seth MacFarlane. And says like, boilerplate liberal stuff. Limousine liberal stuff.
I was also reading about, we talked about how controversial the count is.
Mm-hmm.
In Afghanistan. I have some other interesting things to say about the count, but let's do the plugs first.
Wait, hold on. Let me tell you one thing, Tom. Mm-hmm. You ever watched Jim? You haven't lived until you've watched Jim Henson's funeral on YouTube.
Oh, with like Muppets giving eulogies and stuff?
Yeah, it fucking rules, Tom.
Oh, I think I did read something about like Big Bird gave a eulogy.
Oh, he comes out and sings It's Not Easy Being Green.
Yeah.
Tom.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Honestly, if you ever want to remind yourself that like you're a human being and not a conduit between two machines, just go to YouTube, like look it up. It's like you can find like a cut down of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Jim Henson died tragically young.
Yeah.
And he wanted like everybody to come to his funeral and dress in bright colors and have mm-hmm. a celebration of his life. All the Muppet performers came.
Yeah.
Tom, watch this thing. You'll be fucking weeping like a baby, and you'll also be laughing because like they uh-huh. also pull a lot of like hilarious bits and like
does he fall out of the coffin?
He does fall out of the coffin, but like, and then
but it's an accident. It's not a funny bit.
But Tom, it's the best way to spend some time when I don't know.
Instead when I of, just want to feel sad.
Yeah, you want to feel sad, but you want to feel something. Human. Yeah,
I just want to feel alive. But that reminded me, because we got off topic before, that after Jim Henson died, apparently there were rumors online, which at that point must have been like, I don't know, fucking Usenet.
Yeah.
That they were going to kill off Bert to like teach children about death again, I guess. With Jim Henson dying, but it's like kids don't know who Jim Henson is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter for this show that he died. You don't need
Kermit's going to sound weird for.
Yeah.
And so is Ernie.
But right.
Like, yeah.
But you don't have to kill Bert to teach kids about that. So I believe that's the closest we've come to a Muppet canonically dying.
That's true.
Well, the closest we came was a rumor.
Okay. Tom, have you seen this viral tweet that's gone around? Where it's just like, a girl at a party told me, like, she wouldn't give me my number. She wouldn't give anyone her number before seeing their YouTube recommendations.
Okay.
Because, like, that is the best indicator of a red flag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is super smart, right? Yeah. Like, for a woman to be
let me see what they're pushing you.
Yeah, because, like, that will show me what you've been consuming.
Yeah.
And he takes it out. And the first video was, what if Big Bird had exploded in the Challenger disaster?
Yeah, because Big Bird was supposed to be on the Challenger.
Yeah, the Challenger was a space shuttle launch
that exploded.
They were kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's bring Big Bird here to teach kids about
space
exploration.
Yeah, famously,
and were they
going to
bring
Carol
Spinney on there?
That was the impression I got.
Yeah, the person inside the suit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for taking a peek behind the curtain. And instead, they're like, "I'll just get a school teacher." Actually,
yeah.
But then, the Challenger launch was like engineered to be like, "This is the one we're going to use to teach kids about space."
Yeah,
so we'll show it in all the schools, and like, it exploded. But like, if Big Bird had been on that, like, that man was right to watch that video. And that woman should have dated him.
she didn't. She said,
"I don't know."
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be one of those, like, and now they're married and they're very happy together. Yeah, because
their honeymoon at Cape Canaveral.
I feel like if that did happen, they would have had to write Big Bird off the show. Like, write him off, but like write him off and say like he died in that explosion.
Yeah, walks back all charred, just going like, "Whoo!"
Yeah, I mean,
boy, that was a close
bird.
One. We all got out alive.
Yeah. I mean, he could fly.
Yeah.
Can he? Yeah, he can fly.
I don't think.
Yeah, he's flown in things.
Really?
I think.
You ever watch Follow That Bird?
I think that might be what he flew in.
Paint him blue and put him in a cage, for Christ's sakes.
If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can find all our social media links there, our subreddit, our Discord. You can also find our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide. You get a bonus episode every week.
Books of the podcast.
Books of the podcast usually is the show we're doing. This week we're doing, what, short stories, the podcast?
Yeah, they're still books.
Yeah, they're still books.
Are we doing short story month on Books of the Podcast?
Yeah, we're doing short story month. We're going to read some.
Before we jump into Gump & Co.?
Well, Tim, I thought we were going to tease that out a little bit longer.
All right, bleep that.
Short stories. We both read The Monkey's Paw.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. That's something they never tackled on Sesame Street, the tale of the monkey's paw.
I'm sure Bert and Ernie did like a version
of
it.
Yeah, probably. Like, and it was like a monkey at a zoo. Yeah. It was alive and the paw was attached to him. Patreon.com/completeguide. Let me tell you about these count facts real quick.
Okay, yeah.
You know how old the count is, Tim?
500.
Tim, the count is nearly 2 million years old.
Wow.
According to him, he was born October 9th, 1,830,653 BCE.
When did he say that?
I'm not sure, but I imagine it was honestly, I don't know if you could take him at his word here, because I think it was probably just he wanted to say a bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, and the year was 1,830,653.
Oh, he turned into Arnold Schwarzenegger for a second.
And also, originally, Count von Count was more sinister.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the Muppets were freaking scary, Tom.
But he could hypnotize and stun people. Like, he had
vampires
powers.
Do, Tom.
Yeah, but I feel like nowadays he's not doing vampire-y things.
No, he's counting.
Can he turn into a bat?
Yeah.
Does he do it, though?
No.
Yeah.
But you know he can.
What's the use?
There's always bats around.
Yeah. You think he's fucking those bats?
Maybe.
Yeah. You think those bats know? When he turns into a bat, oh, I guess the other bats aren't real bats. They're Muppet bats, too. Yeah. I was going to say, when he turns into a bat.
Oh, I don't know, actually. I don't know if they're supposed to be Muppet bats. Well, they're not real bats. They're
Muppet bats, I think.
You ever try to get into the Sesame Street studio?
No.
It's right in Queens.
Okay, but the Fort Knox is right in, where is Fort Knox?
See, nobody knows. That's why nobody can get it. It's actually not that protected. It's just that nobody can find it.
They
kept it out of Google Maps, so nobody in our generation can fucking...
This sounds like it's ripe for an Ocean's 11 style heist. Maybe even Ocean's 12.
I would like to go to the real Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to get to the real Sesame Street. So I was a little kid, and then my parents were like, oh, we'll take you to Sesame Place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that meant we were going to Sesame Street. It was just an amusement park.
Yeah.
With like a big man in a suit, in a Cookie Monster suit. And I was like, that's not Cookie Monster.
Yeah, sure. If you put a Big Bird in a suit, I'll believe that. But yeah. Cookie Monster's not that big.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go. I've never been to Sesame Place. Sesame Place is a Sesame Street theme park in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was supposed to go with my cousin and she got sick. So it was like, it's canceled. And I was like young enough that I was like, no, her parents can take me. I'd still like to go to Sesame Place. So I've never been to Sesame Place, Tim. And
well, it's not Sesame Street. You know that there is now an off-Broadway show, I think, with the actual Sesame Street puppets.
Really?
Where they come out and like... sing.
Curse and stuff.
Yeah, they curse. They gotta stop doing that. That's never gonna work.
Yeah, like cursing Muppets. And, yeah.
I feel like some of Jim Henson's kids are like, no, edgy Muppet. They made that movie with Melissa McCarthy. Like, Time Murders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, nobody wants to see puppets say dirty things. I'm sorry. That's just a fact.
Well, Peter Jackson made that.
Yeah, Meet the Feebles.
Yeah.
Just 2 weeks in a row that we're mentioning Meet the Feebles on the podcast.
Usually we're talking about Meet the Fuckers.
Yeah.
But now Meet the Feebles. I've never seen that. Maybe I'll watch that sometime. I'd love to see what it looks like for a Muppet to curse.
I want to go to this Muppet Broadway show, off-Broadway show.
All right.
But like,
what's stopping you?
Because they recommend it ages 3 and up.
Uh-huh.
My child is 2.
Like a hobo stubble on your kid to make him look older.
They'll let you bring him in. Like, right. They don't have to but be like, show me.
But he's not going
to
want to sit still. Yeah, exactly. And it's going to probably freak him out at some point. Yeah.
You know, Sesame Street is now 30 minutes long. This is all the stuff that I was going to talk about. 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
Instead of an hour.
Uh-huh.
And the budget has been cut so much, even though it's like an HBO production now, that they do an entire season in less than 2 weeks.
What?
Yeah. It's, they just double up on stuff. There's like so much reused stuff. Like there's this thing where Cookie Monster and this guy Gonger, you probably don't even know that Gonger.
Yeah, I don't know about Gonger.
Tom, you will fucking love Gonger.
Oh, okay. I'll look into him.
They have a food truck and but like every week they do this segment, it's like, you know, a 28 minute show or whatever, and the intro is like 3 minutes long and it's the same fucking thing every week. Like that's how they do it, you know.
What they used to do with the old Voltron cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, just like, what world do we live in where like HBO, Warner Brothers, Discovery, whatever, like is funding this thing and they're like, you're gonna have to make like 25 episodes and we'll give you like, I don't know, $8,000. Can you do it? Fund Sesame Street, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't let anybody have sex with the puppets, with the Muppets.
Oh, God. You'll all wind up in hell with Mr.
Noodle.
You'll
all wind up in hell, and you'll wind up having to bring up some kind of abomination. God's going to be mad at you for facilitating that, David Zaslav. And he's right to be.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.